You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
To the one, I'm here having a quarter with the one and only Instant Fantasy, who is based out of Ōtautahi. We're talking about their new track, Motion, which is out wherever you get your music. Kia ora to you, my friend. How are you?
Kia ora. I am good, thanks, and kia ora. Iti Radio 1 whānau. Lovely to be here.
Glad to have you on the program. You've been off the radar for a hot second, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But how is Christchurch going? How's that treating you?
Ōtautahi is wonderful. I grew up here, and I left for about 8 years, went to Wellington. There was lots of amazing music and bands and stuff happening up there that I was involved with. And then went to London and came back to Ōtautahi. I was like, oh, I won't be here for long. Oh, I'll just like tap in, tap out. And it turns out I've been back for 12 years now, so wow. Christchurch is treating me pretty well.
Christchurch is teaching you, but rather you are really teaching Christchurch because you are an art teacher there, I saw.
I am.
Is art teaching pretty chill?
Yeah, it's awesome. It is full noise, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm getting a lot from it, so that means I can give a lot to it, which is, yeah, it's cool. Uh-huh. And I get to be around art all day.
Very
and,
fun.
Like, awesome creative humans, so yeah, all about it.
You mentioned before that you were in Pōneke, Wellington, and I indeed saw that you used to be involved with our sister stations, Radioactive in Pōneke, and RDU in Ōtautahi. How was your experience with student radio?
I loved it. It's such a cool community of humans, and I mean, the music taste. Oh, yes, kiss. Like, you know, this is where the good stuff happens. Good stuff is. The community of people are stellar and so interesting and kind and like dedicated
for the cause and for the art. It seems like
it seems to be a theme that runs through my life.
Hell yeah. Well, you know, it is New Zealand Music Month at the moment. Is there anything that's been spinning your wheels lately?
Like, I've been going through the archives recently. I've been looking through all my CDs that I got from like the 2000s through the 2010s, because there was a big time of like going to shows, getting those physical releases. But there was this band, Evil Ocean, who I put them on whenever I go out to my studio to make art or anything. Evil Ocean, the whole thing, incredible. Lots of Golden X tapes, Disaster Radio, an eyeliner, heaps, so much stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, we've kind of spoiled for choice, which is lemon great.
We really are. You know, I thought I was scratching the surface with New Zealand music having this job, but really, I mean, all the bands you just said, I don't recognize any of them, so clearly I still have something to learn.
It was very, very much a time in Wellington.
Well, let's start talking about your new track, Emotion. It's the first track you put out in around a decade. What about Emotion for you made it feel like quite a fitting return? Was it anything premeditated, or was it more of just an instinctual thing?
I wanted to get back into writing, but being a teacher, I'm pretty time poor, pretty time poor with stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'll just go for a song. It happily coincided with this idea of re-releasing the EP, and that was a good driver to like get a track done. Even though I haven't put anything out as Instant Fantasy, like I always keep my notes app full of ideas and stuff. I do 10 minutes a day in the morning, get up, just do a little bit of writing, and that quickly, you know, compounded and a track was formed. Like, I did a little bit of work with looking at a bit of music theory, just like a tiny little bit, just to sort of get myself back to it, because it's been 10 years since the release, so I wanted to kind of push myself to next level with ideas and sounds and that sort of thing. So it was interesting. I was reading an article about a New Zealand musician and how they were sort of doing this production where they were doing the sound design, but I know them as a musician, and I was kind of getting a little bit bitter about it. And I was just like, ugh, I can't believe musicians have to be like, you know, doing all these random jobs, when actually it's pretty magnificent job. And I was just like, whoa, chill out, Gemma. Don't get bitter. Yeah. And so that was where that line for the chorus kind of came in.
Yes.
And it built around that. And whether or not it means directly, you know, you can read into it what you want in the end. Well, but that was sort of the genius.
The genius of Instant Fantasy. I want to actually touch on that line. I mean, there's don't get bitter, and there's also don't forget. Have you, with your, I guess, time in music, have you kind of maintained a steady level of bitterness about the kind of economic reality of musicians in this country? Has it grown? Has it decreased? Has it waxed? Has it waned?
I think it needs to be recognised as of value, being of value, and it should have some sort of monetary thing that goes with it, because I've got a job where I'm getting paid enough, I could invest some money in the production side of it, and that upped my the sort of mana of the song, you know. It just like, it really pushed everything up. I'm giving myself time, quality. I'm doing a live, yeah, the quality and that sort of thing of it. I've given myself extra time to do some stuff towards the live show, where because I could invest in it myself, it has raised that quality as well. And it's just like, we have gold here already, you know. It's just like the New Zealand music is phenomenal. Like you go overseas and you're just like, oh my gosh, actually we're doing okay. Like when I was living in London, I was like, of course there was mind-blowing stuff there, but I'm like, dang, we're amazing. Like New Zealand music is hot. Did I answer the question?
Well, I actually would like to revisit it.
Yeah.
There's so much expected of musicians these days, whether it's to fit in to just make ends meet and live as a musician, you know, whether that's to do sound at gigs or to market themselves with short form video content, you know. Does your, you know, does that business, like, has it risen? Has it decreased? Has it maintained since you've been operating in music?
It depends what you want to compromise on. Like, I don't want to be a content producer, because I've worked in that sort of field, so I'm just like burnt out from all of that. I know people, like I can't remember his name, but it's the person in Dillastrak talking, and he's like, I do content, I'm making a living from my music. Like, you know, I don't want to, I'm sort of working as a teacher, I'm enjoying it, luckily. People are doing it, you know, and it is hard work to be a full-time musician, but like, what do you want to compromise? If you want to work in the biz, I guess there's a way that you can do it. Yeah, it just depends on what you want to do.
Hopefully musicians are asked to do less and give a little bit less of themselves, because they do have lives outside of themselves, outside of just making music. You know, I was talking to Juno Oakes yesterday about his new record, and he was saying that's like a frustrating thing about being a musician, is just being interpolated as that, and there's nothing more.
We're much more than that.
After the line Don't Get Better, you also say Don't Forget. Does that stem from anything, or stem to anything in particular?
Oh, when I was writing this song, because I guess it's like a 10-year anniversary thing, I've been thinking a lot about my friends and people who I've sort of been, who have sort of like wound in through my life. So whether or not that was aligned to myself or to other people, it just sort of ties in with, it's a little bit nostalgic. Things do change over time. I guess that's the next line. And that's okay, but it's still, there's an appreciation for all those people that I've had connections with and my friends and all of that sort of thing.
I want to touch on the visualizer for this song quickly, because it features, I guess we could say, kind of like a sort of a 80s lo-fi or low-budget sci-fi kind of looking lady on loop, playing on like an iPhone 4 or 3. Do you tend to hold on to your electronics? Because I don't know anyone who has an iPhone from 15 years ago.
You know what? I just updated my iPhone 7 recently to a new phone. That video was actually from the release, the tour that I did in 2016. So it's from that date. Yeah, nearly 10 years ago. I did a lot of visuals with that, and that was, I'd done a version of a Shocking Pink song for a compilation that Blink put out. And for the live performance, I put that video together. The person in it is me with my bob haircut at the Audio Foundation in Auckland. Wow, interesting how things are so like, not convoluted, but like there's layers to it. When I was performing up there, I knew I had to put together a video, and so I just sat there with the flashing light and then refilmed that on my phone. I guess I'm kind of into layering technology and all that sort of stuff.
You know, I've noticed more and more that, you know, anachronism is becoming more a thing of our time. I feel it's quite strange, the kind of the crashing down of decades upon each other, you know.
I know, it's all mush now. It's like I'm reading the 33 and a third about eyeliner at the moment. Actually, if thinking about that sort of stuff and that sort of compounding of time or the change, well, that's a bit of a distant link. But yeah, that compounding of time. So it's all just like, because there's access to everything at all times, it's just like, it feels, what does anything mean anymore?
Yeah. No, everything, having everything around you means there's almost nothing. You know, it's a paradox.
Just some simple questions, you know.
Simple. Now, you did mention earlier that it is the 10th anniversary of the Wet EP, and to celebrate, you'll be putting on some performances on June 7th at Ototahi's Centre of Contemporary Arts, Toi Moroki in Ototahi. Now, you've been operating in music for nearly 2 decades. You've been in numerous outfits and you're a prominent collaborator. What makes the Wet EP so special to you?
I did it by myself, and that was the first thing I did when I came back from London. And I was going through a bit of a tough time because I was sad and poor and re-establishing myself in a post-quake Christchurch. And there were amazing people around. There was quite a cool scene of humans. And it's kind of a love letter to that era. Even though that sounds cheesy, it is. Yeah, and it's something that I'm really proud of. And it's nice to celebrate those sorts of moments. And I'm turning 40, and I've turned 40, and give myself some credit.
Will you have any upcoming projects out in 2025? You know, is the track Emotion a sign of more music to come?
I'm also in another band called Stonehenge Aotearoa with Beck Coogan, and we're slowly recording. I was in another band called Fantasing, and we took 7 years to release a single, so I don't know when it's going to come out. I'm in no rush. I guess that's one of the things with not wanting to be a career musician, is that when it comes out, it comes out.
Yeah, it really does. I talked to a guy from Voom recently who, not to be a name dropper, God, but he had the same thing where it's like Voom is a hobby for him, and they spent 20 years between the two albums that they've, the one they put out and the last one they had.
And they're still going strong. I mean, yeah, we played with Voom. You think you're named off now. We played with Voom.
We actually played with them.
Ah, yeah, playing with them.
Anyway, I think we'll call it there. Thank you so much for coming on the program today and talking to me about Emotion and the Wet EP and Anachronism and Time and all sorts.
As we do.
Anything you want to leave our listeners with there, Instant Fantasy?
I hope you enjoy the new song, and thank you for listening. Go Student Radio. Student Radio forever.
Agree that.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.